Did you know that you can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by donating stocks, bonds, and mutual funds to Lutheran Public Radio? For more information, contact Craig at 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385. Please consider donating stocks, bonds, or mutual funds to Issues Etc. this year. Call Craig today, 618-223-8385. Thanks for your support.
It's about some phony ideal, some phony theology. Oh, not a theology based on the Bible, different theology.
It's time to have a debate on our political positions, but not question each other's character and faith.
To paraphrase Martin Luther, the heart and conscience has room only for God, not for God and the federal government.
My real issue is not that I have a skin disease that is causing me to go bald. That is not my real problem, that I'm going bald. My real problem is that I'm a sinner. And that's what Christ still grapples with on a daily basis for me.
Hi, this is Eric, and I'm a steel worker from Pittsburgh, PA. With some noise reduction headphones and the new iPhone app, I listen to Issues Etc. all day long.
We pray it, or at least we ought to pray it, as Christians, the Lord's Prayer, and right there, next to the forgiveness of sins, the most important thing, is what we often think is the most important thing that we're asking for. I'll tell you what, my attention is heightened most of the time when I am praying, give us this day our daily bread. I got bills to pay. I've got all sorts of responsibilities. And as a father and a husband, I feel that responsibility keenly. And while my mind may wander in other parts of the Lord's Prayer, I'm just being honest with you, my mind is always focused when I pray, give us this day our daily bread. But you know, if you sit down and think about all the things that God gives you, and if you're asked to list them, you start getting bored real fast. And most of the time, when we're not praying for it, we are forgetting that God is the one who gives us our daily bread. But even more importantly, and even more sadly, we might be forgetting why he gives us our daily bread. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Thursday afternoon, the 23rd of February. Pastor Tim Pauls joins us to talk about those words from the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. And then a little bit later, we'll remember along with the rest of the church, a man who has been remembered for almost the entire history of the New Testament church. And that would be a man named Polycarp. If you've never heard of him before, well, rest assured, there's a lot to know, especially not only about his life, but especially about his death, his martyr's death, that very early in the church's history, we're talking here about the very early second century, became emblematic of the martyr's life and death as well. That's coming up a little bit later here in this hour of Issues, etc. Dr. Bill Weinrich of Concordia Theological Seminary will be our guest. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and our Twitter address, @issuesetc. Pastor Tim Pauls is pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Boise, Idaho. He's author of an article in the forthcoming edition of the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Daily Bread for Ingrates Like Me. Tim, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd. It's great to be back with you.
Let's kind of work our way back, because while we might forget that God gives us daily bread, the real danger, I think, is that we forget why he gives us our daily bread. Why does he?
Yeah, and this is an answer that I think we often miss, but it is so important for us to truly understand the mercy of God. God gives us daily bread because he delights to. He delights to give us all good things. I think back to Romans 8, where Paul says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? And so the answer is, even with daily bread, God gives it to us because he delights to.
You say that our ingratitude for daily bread comes out, ironically, when we as Lutherans so often refer to Luther's explanation in the Small Catechism about daily bread. And I don't know if Luther does this on purpose. You seem to be implying that he does. He makes a really long and difficult to memorize list of things that constitute daily bread. And if our ingratitude wasn't in evidence when we start the list, it certainly is when we get to the end. Talk about that.
Well, the first time a lot of people encounter the explanation of the fourth petition of the catechism is when they're in confirmation, as I was in eighth grade. And at that time, I was supposed to memorize this long list that goes on and on. God gives us food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, land, animals, money, goods, a devout husband or wife, devout children, devout workers, and it goes on. God gives us so much. And as an eighth grade confirmand, that frustrated me because I didn't want to memorize all that. Eighth graders aren't known for their love for memory work, and I was no different. Looking back, why is that explanation so long? Because God gives us so much, everything we need to support this body and life.
Does it include everything? I mean, every last thing, daily bread.
Every good thing, I suppose. The Lord is very careful in taking care of his people and supplies us with all that we need and so much more. That's certainly true, especially for those of us who live in a nation like this one, where we do have so much and so much that we don't need. But all of that is provided by God for our stewardship and to be used in service to him and to others.
Does he give it to everybody or just to Christians?
See, this shows the how much God desires to give. As Luther says in the Catechism, he gives it to all, even those who don't thank him. And in fact, God gives daily bread to those who don't believe in him. And in fact, he gives daily bread to people who thank false gods for the daily bread that he gives. The non-Christian or the Hindu or the Muslim isn't lacking food because they don't believe in God. God supplies daily bread, all these gifts, to all people, whether or not they thank him or even believe in him.
So you say that this unbelief is more than ready to grab up all the little gifts, but leaves, as you say, the big blood-bought ones behind. What do you mean?
This is a tragedy of unbelief, that God provides daily bread, food and clothing, all the way to everybody. And I don't know of anybody who says, no, if that's from God, I don't want it. I'm going to find my food from somebody else instead. So God has all these little gifts to keep us alive for now. But the bigger gift, of course, is the gift of forgiveness through Christ's death and resurrection. And God offers that to all as well by his word, completely free. That forgiveness is bought by Christ, and there where everybody will grab food and drink, clothing and shoes and the like, they hear of forgiveness and they say, no, I'll pass on that. I've got what I want, and so I'm going to say no to the rest.
Do even we Christians do that to some extent?
Oh, I think so. I think that very, very often we're so consumed naturally with what we can see, and we're so worried about getting the bills paid and the kids through school and getting this or that in the way of material things, that we tend to sadly focus on God more for what he can give us in daily bread rather than the good news that he gives us forgiveness and eternal life, that he takes our sins away. You know, I think it's significant that of the seven petitions of the Lord's Prayer, one of them is about daily bread. The other six are about God's grace and favor for us in Christ.
Well, what I mentioned in the opening of the show, I'd like an explanation. And I can't be unique in this, that, as I said, while my mind might wander during the other petitions of the Lord's Prayer, and as you say, they deal with things more weighty than daily bread, my mind always, for some reason, is especially focused when I'm asking for the daily bread stuff. Why is that?
I think in part because we find it easier to focus on things that we see than to live by faith. And I think part of it, too, is that in our culture, we're very much tempted by those good old sins of things like greed and lust and discontent to want things that we don't have. We're far more concerned with the things of this world than we are with being right before God. That's the old sinful nature trying to distract us from our real need. Our need of forgiveness and righteousness in God's eyes.
Are we further encumbered? Is our faith further harmed by it, our special context here that you mentioned just a moment ago, which along with all the affluence that we take for granted, also the, kind of the American ethos teaches us that if you have something, then you earned it. If you want something, then go out and work for it. Go out and earn it by the sweat of your brow.
I think that there are a couple things there. One is just the prosperity that we don't really know what it's like to be without. In most cases in America, you know, I've worked with some refugees here in Boise who have lost everything and who are very grateful for God's daily supply. Most Americans are really unaware of what it's like to be short on daily bread in any way. So part of it is that, and part of it too is the attitude that daily bread comes into my possession because of that which I do. I work hard, I get a paycheck, and that's how I earn the daily bread that I get. I thank, forgetting that God provides me with that job and that paycheck. And so we, on the one hand, we think that daily bread is our doing, and so we forget that God provides, and then that transfers over to the gospel, and we think that it's too good to be true that God would just give us forgiveness and we have to earn everything else. Our understanding of daily bread and the gospel are sadly off and out of kilter quite a bit of the time.
Let's talk more about that on the other side of the break. Pastor Tim Pauls is our guest. We're talking about the words from the Lord's Prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread." He's pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Boise, Idaho. He's authored an article in a forthcoming edition of the Lutheran Witness magazine titled "Daily Bread for Ingrates Like Me." It's Thursday afternoon, February the 23rd. A few more minutes with Pastor Tim Pauls on the other side of the break. Then we'll remember St. Polycarp from the second century of Christianity.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
How does Jesus' incarnation provide us with a response to religious relativism? Find out in an article that I've written for the latest Issues Etc. journal. It's titled "God in a Box," and we'll send it to you for free. Just send an email to journal@issuesetc.org. You can also read about Pastor Michael Schuerman's journey from moralistic therapeutic deism to the rock-solid theology of the Reformation. The online Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
Sacramental, historical, liturgical. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're coming to you live this Thursday, February the 23rd. Pastor Tim Pauls is our guest. We're talking about Jesus' words in the Lord's Prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread." You said something before the break that I find intriguing. You said that our our view of the gospel and our view of daily bread are often out of sync with one another. Why we fail to believe one, we fail to believe the other. Talk about that.
Well, again, we neglect to understand that it's God who gives us daily bread. We believe that the things that we have are things that we've earned by our hard work, neglecting that before we can work hard, God gives us bodies that are able to work, God gives us minds that can think, and God gives us employment for earning the paycheck. So we think that we earn daily bread by who we are and what we do, forgetting that God gives us everything. And then while we're busy thinking that we earn that, it's so easy for us then to forget that the gospel is also a free gift where God gives that to us solely by his work, solely for the grace of Christ. We want to think that we earn everything from God, where in fact God gives everything to us.
You write about this and kind of referencing Luther's list of devout husband, devout wife, children, servants, things like that. And you say, in a subtle calamity, we value children over devout children, for every parent is tempted to regard sin as less damning when it's his own kid who's guilty. What do you mean by saying that?
Yeah, we value the daily bread things we can see over the gifts of grace. And one of God's great gifts to parents are children. And so when it comes to children, we give thanks to God for our kids. We want what's best for them. But then all of a sudden, our kids do something wrong. And rather than give thanks to God's gift of law and gospel for them, as parents, we're tempted to say, well, it's our kids, so that sin isn't really a sin, and our kids are okay doing that. And then all of a sudden, we're saying that our kids are right in what they do, and God is wrong in what he says. And all of a sudden, we've taken God's gifts of children, and we've made them into idols who speak the truth, we think, while God is lying to us in his word.
Let's talk a little bit about thankfulness in all of this. We are kind of naturally superstitious. I think quite often we say grace before the meal, or we return thanks after the meal, not so much out of thankfulness or even faith, but out of a fear that if we don't, God might turn off the spigot, so to speak. Speak to that if you would.
Yeah, I've neglected to say grace before a meal several times, and the food has never disappeared off my plate because I failed to do so. Again, God keeps on giving whether we thank him or not. And of course, by grace, we want to give thanks to God for all good things, but God's giving to us doesn't depend upon how well we thank him. It doesn't depend on us. God giving to us depends on the truth that God is love and God desires to give to us. You know, I think a great text for this pops up every year on Thanksgiving with the 10 lepers in Luke 17. And, you know, 10 lepers ask to be healed, and then Jesus heals all 10, and only one of them comes back and falls at his feet and worships him. And Jesus asks, where are the other 9? And then he tells the one who's there to go because his faith has made him well. And, you know, the easy sermon there is to preach the law to everybody and say, why can't you be more thankful like the one, or are you the 9, or are you the 1? But when we focus on the people, we neglect the fact that, first off, Jesus healed these 10 men who had nothing to give him. And when 9 of them ran away, he didn't take the healing back. They didn't turn into lepers again. He gave them the gift, even though they didn't give thanks. The tragedy with the 9 is he ran away while he still had gifts to give, namely grace and salvation. And that's what the one who remains does. But whether it's the 1 or the 9, whether we say thanks or we don't say thanks, God keeps on giving because he's God and he delights to give to us for Jesus' sake.
Does this mean then, let's break it down a little bit, does this mean that God gave you your house?
Yes.
Even though I don't know if you live in a parsonage or if you own or however it is, even though somebody's paying the mortgage?
Yeah, technically right now the bank owns the house, but God is giving it to me through the bank's loan, I suppose.
Does that mean God gave you the bank?
And, well, God has provided the bank to provide the loan to me so that through years of work, my wife and I can pay off the mortgage and have a house.
Okay, you mentioned your wife. Does this mean God gave you your wife?
Yes, he did. She is God's gift to me for my wife. Yes.
I don't remember. Do you have kids?
I have two kids. Yes.
Did God give them to you?
He did. He used my wife and I to provide them to us, but they are God's gifts to us as well.
So, parents, you serve a congregation out there, Good Shepherd, in Boise, Idaho. Going through Luther's list, government, the land you live, the freedom you exercise, all of it, a 100% unconditional gift?
Even the weather, a gift from God, all of it.
Even the weather in Boise, Idaho?
Even the weather in Boise, Idaho, even on the cloudy inverted days, which we've managed to avoid this month so far.
Okay, then, with only about a minute here, Pastor Pauls, we come back to where we began. All these things that God gives you freely without condition, why does he delight to give them to you, to me, to everyone, as he provides so freely?
He delights to give them, first off, because he has created us and wants to provide for us, and secondly, because in Christ he has redeemed us. And if he has already given his own son to the cross, and shed his son's blood to make us his own beloved children, how could he ever stop providing us with all that we need now? Having made us his own children by Christ's own blood, he desires to give us every good thing, both now and forever.
Pastor Tim Pauls is pastor at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Boise, Idaho. He's author of an article in the forthcoming edition of the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Daily Bread for Ingrates Like Me. Tim, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.